See you all here this morning. On this first day of the week and the first day of a new calendar year, we gather together to worship the Lord God and sing praise to our Heavenly Mother. Every year on today's date, the Church celebrates a very special feast, the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, which celebrates her place in God's plan of redemption. Today is the eighth day, or the octave day, of the Christmas season. It is called octave, which represents the eight-day period in which Christmas is celebrated, prolonging the feast day of Christmas on December 25th, the first day. Each of the 8 days are treated as the original first day, the birth of our Lord. On this eighth day, we celebrate the motherhood of Mary, calling her the Mother of God. Why 8 days? The 8 days we celebrate, the number eight is supposed to represent perfection. An interesting note about today's solemnity is that previously to the Second Vatican Council, January 1st was the feast of the circumcision and the naming of Jesus. Post-Vatican Council II, Pope Paul VI transferred the feast of Mary, Mother of God, from October to today's date. There is significance to this move to the octave day of Christmas as being sort of a remnant of the feast of the circumcision of Jesus on the eighth day after his birth. We are celebrating Mary's motherhood on the day Jesus was circumcised. Now, in order to grasp why the Church calls Mary the Mother of God, it is important to first understand why the Church teaches that Jesus is God. Isaiah prophesied in chapter 9, a child is born to us, a son given us. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. Christianity sees in these words the prophecy of Jesus' birth and the affirmation of his divine identity. At the heart of our Christian faith is the incarnation, the becoming flesh. The reality that God became man for our salvation. Jesus declares in the Gospel of John in chapter 10, "The Father and I are one." Jesus said he was God, equal to the Father, and claimed that he had existed for all eternity. This is stated at the beginning of the Gospel where it is written, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be." Denial of this truth has been evident since the beginning of his Galilean ministry, with attempts on his life for purportedly speaking blasphemy, claiming to be God. However, at the end of his 3-year ministry, he was finally unjustly judged and put to death on a cross. But he proved them wrong when he rose from the dead on the third day. The Church had to struggle throughout the centuries in understanding why Mary is the Mother of God. The struggle came in answering questions such as, how was Christ both human and divine? Was Christ simply God, only appearing to be human? Or was he human to whom God attached himself in a special way, dwelling inside him? Or was he partly human and partly divine? These questions had to be decided and the truth declared in order for the Church to declare Mary Mother of God. The Ecumenical Church Council at Ephesus in 431 AD was convened by the Roman Emperor Theodosius II to decide whether Mary could be called Christotokos, Christ-bearer, or Theotokos, God-bearer. The council was held appropriately at the Church of Mary in Ephesus. The council ended with refuting Archbishop Nestorius's claim that Mary could not rightly be called Mother of God, since Christ was, he claimed, two persons, one human, one divine, joined together in Christ. Instead, the Church declared Christ is only one divine person, the second person of the Holy Trinity who took on flesh human nature joined to his own divine nature. These two natures cannot be separated. Therefore, the church concluded that not only is it correct to call Mary the Mother of God, but that it is important to do so. For if we are denying that Mary is the Mother of God, then we are denying that Christ himself is God, come down from heaven. To be the Mother of God, God prepared Mary with a singular, holy grace. He made her, even before her birth, to be holy and free from sin, original sin, or as Father Mike Schmitz likes to call it, or prefers to call it, original wound. The wound that all human creatures are born with. Mary had to bridge a large gap from being a simple Jewish girl of humble beginnings to achieve the title Mother of God. She was never focused on honors or riches for herself. Her single-minded focus was on doing the will of God. And for that reason, Mary's exaltation in the eyes of God was the result of her innate humility. With God, there is no gap at all between humility and exaltation. One definition of humility is a proper sense of self. Mary possessed that trait in being open to the will of God, even though at first she was puzzled about what the angel Gabriel told her as seemingly impossible since she had had no relations with a man. Pope John Paul II wrote during his papacy that Mary has been granted an utterly special likeness between her motherhood and the divine fatherhood, of which the primary effect of the Father's love is the divine motherhood. God gave a mother to his Son for us. He chose a virgin mother to offer his fatherly love more generously to humanity. So I think it is established that Mary is rightly and devoutly called the Mother of God. And St. Louis de Montfort has written, "True devotion to Mary is tender, full of a confidence in Mary. Devotion is holy, leading us to avoid sin, imitating her virtues. Devotion is constant, strengthening us in good and being courageous in opposing the ways of the world. And devotion is disinterested, inspiring us to seek not ourselves, but God alone in his Holy Mother. To be sure, even with the beauty and love of our earthly mothers, humanity still continues to search for that maternal image of the ultimate mother in order to discover our own truest spiritual inner self. That image we seek is the face of Mary. No matter how wonderful we feel, no matter how sad and depressed in our troubles, we are sustained and lifted up in the knowledge that we have been given a mother who loves us with constant and undying love. Mary is that mother, the rampart and bulwark of our faith. So now let us honor Mary with her own words as we can pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.